It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. So, we'll have some reports. We'll have some stories. We have Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast with a whole lot more. Captain Mike, how are you?
Doing fine, Sean. You got your golf swing ready? I mean, your bow swing ready?
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that as bow season is here. And by the way, let's talk about last week's show, too. A big thank you to Macklin Smith. We need to do that again.
Yep.
And if you didn't catch it, you can always go back and see the listen to the podcast of last week's show. And in-depth dive into marine electronics. Sounders, scanning sonar, GPS, but I feel like we just scratched the surface.
We did. And we talked for an hour, and we did just scratch the surface. There's a lot of things there that I wanted to ask him. I just didn't get a chance to ask him.
Well, he's got
to
come back.
Yeah.
Get him back and talk more about that, because there's so much, especially, you know, some of the better deals.
All this new stuff.
And the better deals seem to come out this time of year, right? So they're closing out last year's stuff. I think in January they unveil what's new.
February, yeah.
So there's closeout stuff. This is the time of year you can get some deals on some electronics. What are you going to buy? Why are you going to buy it? You got somebody like Macklin. You could say, okay, what do I need to get out of this year's 2018 stuff and get them to install it now?
Yeah.
We'll have them back and hopefully do that very soon. Mention that. So bow season opened up on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, Monday the 15th.
Open up Monday.
And reports coming. I've seen a few of like the Instagram posts, not people that I hunt with, but people around the state killing a couple decent bucks. And you showed me a picture that was a fine buck.
Yeah, Mike Eubanks killed a real nice 8-point opening day. Scored in the 130s.
An 8-point, y'all.
8-point.
It's like Tyne City.
Mid 130.
Tyne City, man.
21 inch wide. I mean, really beautiful 8-point. But, Sean, that's the only one that I know of that's been killed. Of course, the weather was terrible.
Yeah.
And the weather's, 90 degrees Monday, I think, in Mobile, 91, I think, or somewhere around in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wants to go hunt in that? Now the weather's getting better,
mm-hmm.
and, there's going to be more and more people going. And I haven't even pulled my bow out, John. I hate to say that, but, one of the reasons, I've only got where I'm hunting at, I've got a 350-acre piece, and I do it for my grandson.
Right.
And I'd hate to go up there and shoot a buck with my bow that he could shoot with his gun.
That's a good pawpaw there.
You know, so I'm not going to go up there and shoot a deer that he might would get
right.
a chance to shoot. So I just haven't bow hunted in the last several years.
Well,
but I'm going to have to get back into it. I'm going to
get him a bow and get him go with you.
I'm going to try to go to Kansas next year is what I'm going to try to do.
Well, maybe I'll hop in with you on that.
We talked to Jay Graddick about that, and I'm going to try to work that out next year.
We're going to get Jay back, and we're going to get as part of this. So I'm leaving, and I'm going to put some pictures up and some things I've been doing training. I'm going to put up some pictures and videos of me packing. I leave at the end of this month for Colorado.
Yeah.
My first Western hunt.
Yeah.
I spent some time out west over the years, but never gotten to go hunt. So yeah. I put in and I did everything. This is all DIY, y'all. This is putting in the state lottery. This is not an outfitter. This is, four of us from Alabama going and getting after it. And we're going to see how we do, but I'm going to kind of keep pictures and video through the whole process so you can, and, obviously with me, y'all know it's going to be real. And so if it's bad, if it's good, I'm going to show you the bad and good and tell you about that.
Yeah.
Colorado this year for it, but we talked with Jay about Kansas and about the public land opportunities out there.
Lots of good public lands out there that does not get utilized.
That's right. And people get it in their mind that the only way, and it's great. Listen, if you have the resources and you can cut the check and go with a big outfitter somewhere and stuff like that, that's great. I'm not anti-outfitter, but for a lot of us, I can't do that. But I still want to go do the thing.
Yep.
I still want to hunt the big bucks. I still want to hunt the mule deer. I still want to do that. And there's a lot of ways to do it. And we'll try to detail those more, maybe even, kind of go through the process of getting ready for Kansas so people can follow along what you do and how you do it.
Right. Which is, it's not as difficult as we all think it is. I mean, talking to Jay Graddick about it, it's not that difficult.
But you have to think, here's the thing, you have to think about those things before this time of year.
Yes.
These are things you're doing back in the spring. Like the process for me,
you got to draw for your tag. Got to get tag stuff in what, March or April?
Yeah.
Or
so I think I think our stuff was due by the 1st of April for Colorado. So I had to have everything in. We had to apply, And then you find out by the end of May, I think, if you get drawn. And everything out there is not draw either. And I'm speaking for Colorado. I mean, there's some over-the-counter elk units where you can still go buy a license. I don't think there's any over-the-counter mule deer areas, but there are areas that you have a lot easier chance of getting drawn. You know, there's some areas that are more coveted, and that's usually broken down by the amount of public land in an area and the amount of deer in an area, right? That forces the ratio there.
In other words, quality of the deer. Some places have better quality deer than other places, and that's the higher. It takes longer to get into that unit.
That's right, which is different for Kansas because either you're in or you're out.
Right.
Okay. You're not putting in, so you're getting in for that tag, and it's I would say you have a pretty good chance of getting drawn. Not a guaranteed chance because there's people that don't get drawn.
For bow, I think it's a good chance.
It's a real good chance.
But gun is it's a little tougher.
Do they even offering? They may offer it. I don't know. I'm mostly focused like you are on bow hunting out there because number one, it hits the rut.
Right.
You know, and number two, there are more tags available. And you know how we don't talk about this much back in Alabama, but things are changing. Thank goodness we have some people that are looking at management of our deer here from a science-based approach.
Chuck Sykes is doing an awesome job.
It's based on science. I know a lot of people don't like it. And I got some, after a show the other week, somebody said, I can kill every deer I want on my property. It's not the state's business. Y'all, they're not doing it. Chuck Sykes is the huntingest son of a gun. I mean, Mike and I are both personal friends. We know the guy.
He's one of us.
And he'll say it. He says it in meetings and stuff, and he'll say it on the air here with it. He said, I'm a hunter. I'm a killer.
Yeah.
He said, I kill stuff.
Yeah.
But his job is, and what it should be, is to make sure we're managing the resources for the state to make sure we have a healthy population of deer, and we have what people have wanted for a long time is more good bucks to shoot.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, having limits and having size limits makes that.
Yes. And it's, and people will say, I ought to be able to do. Well, listen, if you just give it a second, you feel like your God-given right to shoot the 3-point will be your God-given right to shoot the 8-point.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is, it's very pro-hunting, and we'll get into it in the next segment. I'm just back from, I was gone some days this week, and I was taking care of some business in Pennsylvania up where my mom's family's from.
And I got to hunt.
But I'll talk about what they did on their management and kind of what I've seen. And I can tell y'all, like, of course, it's anecdotal. It's one farm, my family's farm, but I can tell you what I've seen with the deer as they put in management up there. But back to what we're talking about here at home. And Kansas and places like that, there are opportunities out there to be done. But those are things we'll talk about through the wintertime because that's when you got to get started on them. You can't wait till this time of year and say, I'm going to go to Kansas. You can't do it.
No.
You got to think about it a little bit early and put in, and then you have the opportunity to spend all summer looking at maps, studying, making phone calls, and getting your best hunt possible.
Picking out where you want to go. I mean, and all of Kansas is good hunting.
Yes.
You know, northeast, south, and west. It's all good hunting. I'm sure there's some that's a little better than others, but it's all good.
Okay, let me throw this into the mix, and you'll probably get mad at myself for this. But if I was, and if I'm going to go out there next year, do a couple things. Number one, I'm going to – it's all good – exactly. You'll hear areas of states. Those like, you got to be in this county or that county, right?
Right.
Well –
in Alabama, that's where you got to be. You got to be in this county or that county.
Although there's always sleepers that come from other counties.
Right.
Like, look at all the bucks came out of Choctaw County last couple years, right? We've been going, holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the same thing. You look at Illinois. They're going Pike County. I got buddies of mine brag, I got a lease in Pike County. Well, you're paying through those because of the Pike County. The county just won over from it. Probably has just as good, but this one has marketed itself.
That's right.
And there's areas of in Kansas, there's areas in Iowa that they may be the best of the best. But the second, third, and fourth best in Kansas is better than any most of us have an opportunity at in Alabama.
Right.
Agreed?
Right.
So why go to the area that's been on the cover of every magazine if you're going to try to the walk-in hunting areas in Kansas or the public hunting areas in Kansas? Why would you go where everybody's going?
Yeah.
Because in public land, one of your factors is dealing with pressure, right? I mean, you're dealing with pressure. So how do you get away from that? Well, you go to the areas that aren't as publicized. You maybe dig around on the DNR's website and see out there what the deer take numbers are from some of those other counties that aren't as famous.
As long as you have farming around, which
that's
Kansas
right.
is pretty much all farmland, most of it.
Well, as it goes west, it gets more ranching, but there's center pivot irrigation out there. And the other thing to look at is, like Kansas, for example, and I'm just undoing my whole plan for this next year, but I'm putting it out for y'all. The population in most western states or prairie states is always seems to be clustered in the eastern part of the state. Look at Kansas, look at Nebraska. You know, it's just wherever that's usually that there's usually a river there or something, but that's where the population fell first in that state.
Yeah.
As you go west in any given state, the population gets less until you get to the Rocky Mountain states, and then it's less in the east. Like Colorado is less in the east and more in the west. But if I'm looking at Kansas, the further I can get away from Kansas City and Manhattan and Topeka and Wichita and all that stuff in the east, and the further west I can go, number one, I got public land. Number two, the chances of local folks from the big metros driving there for a morning hunt or an afternoon hunt or an sure. overnighter is less.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to be out there for 10 days. So if I can go to western Kansas, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to get back to the house.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be there for the soccer game. I'm not trying to be, you know. So you look at those areas, they're going to have less pressure. And you can probably find a place where you may be able to hunt some public land for quite a while, and you'd never know it because you wouldn't see anybody.
As long as it's close to a motel, that's all that matters.
That's right. You know, a motel.
You just got to be close to a tent.
That's right.
Pitching place.
That's right. So, hey, we'll talk a little bit about this when we get back. And also, reminder, too, we'll talk about, you know, bow season in effect, but it's bucks only right now, and you got 10 days of that. So we'll talk about, I think it's October 25th, you can go to shooting does.
That's
but
right
now, if you're down here in our zone, it is bucks only. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Big thank you to Joey and the gang at Buffalo Rock, home of Mountain Dew and
Diet Mountain Dew.
That's right. What fuels the FM Talk 106.5 crew. Big thank you to Joey Peterson. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joey.
And
Buffalo Rock is awesome.
Yep, and that Diet Mountain Dew. It's good stuff. The fuel to get up in the morning, right, and go chase them. Go chase them. Which a lot of people are, you know, I imagine a little cooler today and tomorrow. Probably some more people in the woods. Get out. Like you said, I mean, it opened Monday, but number one, you know, I'm a weekend warrior, so the weekdays don't help me at all. Number two, when it's 90 degrees.
Well, yeah. Actually, what I did opening day of bow season, I planted my green fields. First time I've had a chance to get up there and plant my green fields, so I did.
Did y'all catch a rain? So I was out of town
Monday
most
night,
of last week.
Oh, yeah, Monday night, we had a good rain. Good. I hit it just right.
Good.
But I got my weed out. But I did not get my oats and my fertilizer out. But I got wheat out, so I'm good right now. They were out of oats when I went to get my oats.
Right.
They had oats, but they didn't have them bagged up where I get my stuff at. So anyway, I'm going to get them this week and go back up there and put my fertilizer out and my oats out. You know, and you do not have to cover your oats, and you do not have to cover your wheat. Here's something that I have found out about planting, John, and I need to tell everybody this because I didn't know this for many, many, many years. I planted green fields all my life, oats and wheat, and I did not know that I was doing it wrong. But I found out. In the past, you know, 5-10 years, you know, I go out in the springtime and I look at my green fields and turkey season, and there's no wheat and there's no oats out there, and I'm saying, God, there's ryegrass.
Ryegrass growing, right.
You know, but I look at the edge of my fields and there's some oats growing on the edge of fields, wheat growing on the edge of fields, and
okay.
I'm saying, what's going on?
Yeah,
well,
so.
I didn't figure it out. But the guy I hunt with, 81 years old, he had the same thing in his big fields. He got a 30-acre field, same thing. We planted it. And go out there in the springtime, no wheat, no oats, ryegrass everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to his friend of his, a farmer up there, and said, listen, we put oats and wheat out every year, and in the springtime we go out there and there is no oats and there's no wheats. He said, I can tell you exactly what it is. You don't have to tell me anything else. Mm-hmm. I can tell you exactly what it is. You've got a big disc, don't you? He said, yes. He said, you got big blades on it, don't you? Yes. He said, you're disking it all the way down as hard as you can, aren't you? Yep, I am. He says, this is what you do to grow wheats and oats. He says, you go and just lightly scratch the surface. All you want to do is disk it an inch or two deep.
Think about that little seed that's going to push up.
Yeah. All you want to do is just do an inch or two. It's something about having a good base to
a firm
seed bed for oats and wheat to grow good. If it's real loose in there, for some reason that root system can't get in there and stay there for some reason.
Yep.
So
and also you have a chance, even if you don't mean to, burying that seed too far.
Yeah. Well, here's what we do now. We just put seed on top.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little drag that we just drag mm-hmm. over it, and it puts some of it, you know, a half inch under the dirt, and, you know, some of it maybe an inch, some of it mm-hmm. still on top. And last year we did that. I went back in the springtime during turkey season where I normally ready to spray my fields. I didn't want to spray them. There was wheat and oats and clover mm-hmm. everywhere. I said, man, this is just awesome, because deer and the turkeys love the oats and the wheat when yep. it dries, and the clover was there, so I didn't spray. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, turkeys I've cleaned on our place that have a gizzard full of wheat heads.
Yes.
They get the whole thing in one bite.
Go, yeah.
Get
yeah.
that whole thing.
So I learned a lesson, you yep. know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there saying, well, golly,
yeah.
I do the
I think
same
you
thing.
Raised some eyebrows.
Or there's people that do it and don't realize, because they don't go back in the spring and see that there's no oats and no wheat out there.
So whether you care about the turkeys getting it or not in the spring, what you're doing is you're wasting your money.
Yes.
Okay, so for back when I was, I guess, till this year, when I was a disker at all,
yep.
I would disk fields, and usually I'd spray them, ring them, burn them, and then lightly disk, and then I would cultipack. Then I would seed and cultipack again. You've heard me say, you know, I double
sure.
cultipack. What I was doing is firm seed bed, because I've, you know, and this is
cultipacking is awesome. Even on oats and wheat, that's great,
because it makes a firm seed bed.
Right.
Or if you're going to scratch it, I also have. For years, I've been running a drag, a
yep.
tooth drag, two sections that make up. It's probably I can pull behind the four wheeler. It's maybe 4 feet by 8 feet. It's heavy metal sections with the teeth, but it scratches
yeah.
the dirt. And some of the fields, even down the river swamp, we still plant like that and put it in there and just roll over it.
Yeah.
Because – and this kind of fits hand in glove with what I'm doing now for – you know, this year, all my patches – last year I was testing all my patches this year are throw and mow.
Yeah, I'm really interested.
Okay.
It worked awesome last year for
right.
you. On
and no
test
disking.
Patch.
So, once again, that seed,
see,
like Mike's saying, even though there's grass over it, I'm essentially just putting it on the surface.
Explain again what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah. So, and there's a bunch of stuff online, and this is not throw and grow. There's a bunch of stuff that's marketed, the very expensive seed bags.
Yeah.
You get in trouble with any of those companies, but y'all, come on. If you look at the price per seed when you go buy it in the fancy
right.
bag, but the that's the throw and grow, which is a lot of rye and stuff. But throw and mow is a process where we come in, take a field, you know, I'll say that I bush hog at least once in the summer because I'm trying to build soil. I got bad soil and I'm building it back up, and I've been successful here. But you go in, you spray your field about 2 weeks before you want to plant.
Right.
Spray it. So come in.
That's the important part.
Glyphosate. Right.
2 or 3 weeks before you're
right.
going to plant.
You're not using a disc, but you are using a sprayer.
Right.
Okay? It becomes part of your process. You come in, you spray, you kill the entirety of the field. Kill all the grasses. Now, y'all know when you spray with Roundup, you kill it and it also shrinks up.
Right.
You know, for lack of a better term, like if when everything's green, yeah, it shrivels up. So now all of a sudden you can see the dirt underneath. The dirt that's been shaded by that full growth in the summertime, there's dirt down there.
Yeah.
Because nothing could grow because it was okay. So you go in, now it's shriveled up. You can see dirt. You roll through with the hopper or however spreader, however you put your seed and fertilizer out. So this is what I do. I come in there and I haven't, bush hog's not out yet. Sprayer came out and then the hopper came out.
Yep.
Okay. I hadn't even touched bush hog yet.
Yep.
So I come in there and I spread my fertilizer and my seed. Now that's all in my fields. That's done. Then I hook the bush.
Grass is still tall.
It's still tall. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I would say there's probably places
two
in the
foot tall
right.
or so.
Yeah, there's places if your grass gets to be 6-7 feet tall, it might be something different.
This ain't gonna work. That
right.
ain't gonna work if you're gonna do it.
Right.
If it gets that tall.
If it gets that tall, I would suggest you bush hog once in the summertime. And then as it comes back up, spray it when it's two or
yes.
three. Because my grass is no more than 3 feet tall in any of the fields I've done.
Yeah.
Okay, but I've sprayed it, and I roll through there, and I've spread the seed and fertilizer. Then I come through with a bush hog, and I mow it, let's say, on a three-point, the back wheel's on the ground on the three-point bush hog. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I'm
pretty
low.
I'm
pretty
yeah.
low. And what I do is that's it.
Yeah.
I mow it. And I think the process of the bush hog going over it, any seed that might not have made it to the soil yet, like a pinball game, goes ding, 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 and gets down to the soil. And then,
even if it don't get to the
yeah,
soil.
Yeah, the rain's going to.
It will get there.
And then the grass then covers where that seed laid. So what we now have is a moist, especially in October, when
yeah.
rain's at a deficit, you've got a little greenhouse in there between the grass that's laying there. Now it looks like just a mowed field, right?
Yeah.
You got all this grass out there. But what's going on underneath is you keep moisture in there. And warmth in there.
Yep.
And it's like a greenhouse. And know that seeds have a certain amount of energy to get that plant, whatever it is, to its to up to a height where it can get sun. That's the purpose of all the when we take seeds and eat them and grind them up, and all that energy that's in there is to give that plant enough energy to get up so it can start making its own energy through photosynthesis, right?
Yep.
It gets it up. So that process goes on underneath that thatch, and the wheat and the oats and the clover put their little heads up above the thatch. Now they've got roots going down there. They've got a nice cozy place where they're growing down there underneath the thatch, and their leaves or their you know are up above now getting sun, and they go to growing.
That's right. You know,
and I don't disc at all. And so what I've been doing is I now have where I didn't. You know, I'm Western Washington County, trashed up soils. I now have black topsoil in fields
because you're not
now it's not
that,
much.
You're not
I'm growing
that
it.
Under every time.
Mm-mm, it stays
it's all
there.
Staying on top. Yeah.
So you know,
so
I've been,
you got a little richer soil,
and each year will be better and better. I think I'm probably about a quarter of an inch of new soil compared to when I started this process
right.
on the one field, and that's just 1 year of doing it.
Yeah.
After this year, maybe a little bit more, and then you can use less fertilizer. It holds water better. Now it's different for different soils. You're in the Black Belt. You have a different soil.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in sandier loam kind of country, worn out soils.
But it would work.
But
the
it
same
works.
Way.
It works other places. There's people doing it in the Midwest. They're doing it in the Mississippi Delta, and it is. You know, it saves you time, you know, and I listen, I'm a farmer's grandson. I love a disc, but I also love to learn new techniques that do better, and that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah. The only thing that it wouldn't work for us up at our place is if our ground gets so hard, it cracks.
Right.
Now, it may not work that good unless we put it out and we get a really good rain, then that would probably work. But if we don't get any rain for a while, that might not work as well.
Right.
But a good example of kind of what you're talking about is if you've ever seen one of these like an orange cone, you know, that you see on the side of the road.
Right.
And you see it sitting in the yard somewhere and there's grass.
Growing
hole,
out of it. Yeah.
A hole in the top of it and there's grass growing up.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, how'd that happen? Yeah, it's a little greenhouse there.
That's right.
And it's growing whatever it is, whatever grass
it's going to push
is,
up to try to find the sun.
It's coming up to get the sun. That's exactly right.
And I'll tell you right now, I took a lot of little surveys because my test field last year was field that split down the middle. And so I could sit there and look at what side, you know, the deer. And the deer went to both sides. It's not like they because I did one side traditional. I dissed it and cultipacked and did everything.
Yeah.
And the other side throw and mow. And it's not like they only went to throw and mow. But I saw an advantage. A little bit of an advantage for throw and mow. And, you know, if I can get the same amount of deer to use it and save the time on the disc and the wear and tear and build topsoil while I'm doing it, it's a good deal. All right, we're coming back. We'll talk some more hunting here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Plus fishing. Fall fishing is here as well. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all here. And reminder, too, as we're into bow season and moving, listen, it's 24/7, 365. We'd love to see your pictures on Facebook, but
yep.
You get that bow kill, you know, go ahead and post that picture up.
Love to see it.
Love to see it,
and
too.
I haven't seen much yet. I haven't seen one picture, and that's the one that Mike Eubanks killed at 8 points, scored 130-something. That's the only buck I've seen.
But
I hadn't seen anything on Facebook. And usually everybody's putting something on Facebook.
Yeah,
you know?
We don't need – well, I mean, your nephew, but that – you know. Hog that he killed in the yard.
Yeah,
but
he did in Charleston Oaks.
Yeah, I love
off
it.
Of Cody Road,
which is a whole nother.
They had a problem with hogs coming in their neighborhood, and he went over there and whacked one of them.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
the critters are moving in. You got you know the coyotes in my neighborhood and the hogs in his neighborhood. You know, but
yeah.
It's But also, you're talking about that deer scoring 130. It's not. This is not like a bragging board. I'd love to just see. Y'all's deer. It could be a doe. It could be
whatever it is.
Whatever it is, you know, and a little bit about how the hunt went.
Not a doe yet, though. You got to wait till the 24th.
After the 20, yeah, the 25th.
Unless you got tags.
Or you're in zone A.
Okay.
But down here in us, yeah. We're not shooting bucks. We're only shooting bucks till the 25th.
Right. And if you got tags, though.
Explain that, because who's still doing the DMAP stuff?
Yeah, okay. You can get that from the conservation department. And I've got friends that's got tags, 100 tags, 150 tags.
Right.
And they can, open a day of bow season, they can kill if five does come by them, they can shoot all five of them.
The club I was in years ago used to be like, we had to do them through the program, pull the jawbones and all that.
You know, they're just trying to get the mouths out of there. Mm-hmm. They got too many mouths and not enough food, and they're just trying to lower the herd down. And if you got tags, you can start day one of bow season and shoot as many as you want a day.
Yeah, they're doing that big time. So I was gone this week. I was up conducting some business, but up in South Central Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. where my mom's people are from, and I was on the farm up there. And I put some pictures and some videos up on my, if you go to Instagram, Sean Sullivan Radio, it's just like a separate, I really don't ever talk about it during the week because there's not any politics. There's no politics. It's just hunting and fishing, outdoor stuff, camping, canoeing, hunting, fishing stuff that's on there. And but I got some good video of my kin harvesting corn and, running the corn heads and pouring the corn in the, in the buggies and it's pretty cool. But also spent a little bit of time in the woods, actually a lot of time in the woods, a little bit of that time hunting. And, you know, there where we're from, that county is a CWD county. So CWD that we're so scared of coming into Alabama is a CWD county. And they have gone
chronic
through
chronic waste disease. Yeah, what chronic, you're saying.
Yeah, chronic waste disease.
A lot of people
disease,
don't know what CWD is.
Which, y'all, it's the biggest of the big deal. This is, we think of EHD and blue tongue and all that. That pales in comparison. The CWD is the scariest thing I've seen out there when it comes to deer because it's a prion and it stays. Okay, here's the best example of it. As Chuck Sykes told us, let's say you got you a 50 acre enclosure, whatever it is, an enclosure. Okay. And CWD got in the deer there and wiped them out. And you let that place sit empty a deer, no deer, for 5 years, 10 years. I think 10 years was the maximum time, but let's say 5 years so I know I'm correct. 5 years, no deer in there, no critters. No,
right.
You bring new deer in there and put them in, chances are they'll pick up CWD.
And die again.
That's what's scary, y'all. This is something that gets in. And that's why the state has put such stringent rules in. Y'all study this. If you hadn't heard this, you can't go. Don't go to Mississippi and bring a deer in here without boning it out. No skull, spine material. You know, you can have the plate. Basically, you're trying to barn hang a set of antlers. Just that plate right there with no brain material on it whatsoever.
You got to boil it. A lot of times, you got to boil it.
If you get everything, get everything off there, but you can't bring in any spinal cord. In other words, you debone the meat.
Right.
And bring nothing else but the plate right there where the antlers hook up and make sure there's no brain material. Because that's where they say the CWD is mostly – but in other words, do not bring a bone into the state.
Right.
Do not bring it in from Mississippi. But,
and a lot of people don't realize that.
Right. So we're going to keep talking about it.
They go over to Mississippi. A lot of people around here go to Mississippi and hunt. I mean, it's just, 20 miles over here and go hunt.
It's against the law.
And they don't think about
– But any state right now, you cannot bring from any state back in to Alabama. Okay.
Right.
So, example, I'm talking about I'm leaving at the end of the month, going to Colorado to go mule deer hunting.
Right.
If we are successful out there, there'll be nothing but a head plate because Colorado is a CWD state. Nothing but the head plate and antlers and deboned meat.
Yes.
And if I'm lucky to kill a good buck, I would just go ahead, if I'm going to cape it, leave it with the taxidermist out there. And then they will send, I can't cape out my buck and bring back that, from the arms to the shoulders up. I can't bring that back.
Yeah.
If you want to bring the hide back, you have to go through the process of completely taking the hide off the head. It's a big process.
Yes, it is.
So you could do that, but and make sure if you got any questions about this, you call the state before you do it. This is the law, y'all. You cannot bring them back in. But I was going to say, so I was up in Pennsylvania, CWD state. They have ramped up their doe tags. Here's what happens. Here's what it looks like. They're trying to bring the population down big time.
Yeah.
And they banned any sort of mineral licks, feed stations, anything. Because they're worried about nose-to-nose transfer of this prion. So they're trying to whack the deer hard, bring those numbers way down. And they've done such a great job. What I was getting at the beginning of the show is up there, I think it used to be 80% of the bucks in Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania, even last year, with hunter numbers coming down, had 1.1 million hunters.
Yeah. That's a lot of hunters.
1.1 million, y'all.
Yeah.
They get after it up there. My kin get after it up there. So, but the average age used to be 80% of the bucks died at a year and a half old.
Yeah.
80%.
Yes.
And so there were a bunch of deer. We come from farming countries, corn, alfalfa, and soybeans, and hardwoods, and produces a lot of deer and good numbers and has great genetics and potential, but those deer got wiped out.
They had no potential after they died a year and a half old.
Yeah, by my kinfolk and a lot of other people up there. Yeah. Right. So the state put in a 4-point on a side restriction in some areas, and the rest of the state 3 points on a side.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're talking about for your third buck here in Alabama.
Right.
But they only get one. And I tell you that I've been going up there since I was born as a little boy. And I've seen decent bucks over the years. I saw two show enough good deer. And I didn't hunt hard. Y'all, I was busy doing a bunch of other things. Got to slip out twice. Two show enough good bucks and another three that were better than 100 inch to 120 inch.
Yeah.
Y'all, and this is, wasn't hard hunting. I mean, I was slipping around, seeing this, just glassing.
Yeah.
And then another, you know, probably 10 bucks of some sort.
So what spike you, to, your good ones that you saw, how big?
You know, just judging on the hoof, I think one of them was probably pushing 140, you know?
Good deer.
And then you see another one that's 130. So I mean, you know, it's
good deer.
It's significant in an area that
you didn't see it.
And so it's scary that they've gotten the bucks where they need them to be, and now here comes CWD into the mix as well. Yeah. So I mean, it is serious. You know, we keep it out of Alabama, but you know, I just mentioned that you know there's been a lot of squawking here with you know reduction of being able to shoot. I want to be able to shoot every buck I can or whatever. Well, you know what you most likely want. Nobody wants a 3-point. They shoot a 3-point because they want to kill a deer.
Yeah.
I get that. I've shot a 3-point in my life, shot spikes in my life. You know,
I've killed a pile of them.
Right. But if somebody said.
And when I kill a spike, I was just like killing a 10-point, man. I was
very happy.
Too high, yeah.
And that's what I like about the state giving you the first, you know, your choice. You can shoot a spike if you still want to.
Yeah.
Or shoot the spike if that's what you want to do. But what we're trying to push to is most people, though. If I could say, Mike, you can shoot a spike or you can shoot a 10-point.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to shoot?
Yeah.
Okay, most people are going to say 10-point.
That's right.
Once again, I'm not any, Lord knows, if you've listened to this show for the decades, I'm not the trophy hunter. I'm the guy that, let's whack a deer.
Yeah.
At the same time, if I have a choice between shooting, if it's a small buck, I mean, this is where I am now, you know, I'll eat a lot of meat, so I'll shoot a doe. But I think most people, if given the choice, would rather have a chance at a rack buck than a spike.
Sure.
And that's what they're trying to accomplish, and I saw them accomplish it in Pennsylvania big time. I mean, big time, night and day.
And that's what we're trying to do here. You know, pass the small bucks and let them get to be 2.5, 3.5 years old, and then you got something to shoot.
And people say, well, you know, on my club, we manage that way. That's fine. But not everybody has big parcels to hunt. And so then when you say, well, I should be able to shoot, you know, every spike or 3-point I want to on my place – but the deer don't stay on your place all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way we manage wildlife, like it or not, y'all, this is – I like it because it's what's led to the success for game in our country. We manage not a property-based but a species-based way in this country.
Yeah.
In other words, the deer are the possession of the people of the state of Alabama, not you. They happen to be on your land right now, and you can kill that deer on your land and nobody else can. But that deer doesn't belong to you.
It's the state.
It's a state's
game. That's right.
Because if it belonged to you, then you could argue you could keep it from going over on Mike's place or keep it from coming over on my place. You can't do that. I mean, if you put a fence up, there's a whole bunch of stuff you go through there to do that. But it is so you're saying, well, I shouldn't be restricted. But the fact that you're restricted means that Mike's restricted means I'm restricted. That means all of us have a better chance. You still get to kill, you know. You can still kill
deer.
Yeah. And your last one, you know, being the one with, you know, the four to the side. But that's just going to benefit everybody long term.
That's right. You know, Sean, when I was growing up, the game was how many deer have you killed this year?
Mm-hmm.
It was not, have you killed any big ones this year?
Right.
It was
straight
not
numbers
that.
Game. Yeah.
It was numbers. And I'm telling you, there were people killing as many as 60 bucks a year. Now, think about that. A lot of people killing 20, 25, 30. A lot of them. I mean, how many you kill? Oh, I killed 22, but I still got a month to go, you know.
And
it's unbelievable how many deer people kill. But now, back in the 80s in our hunting club, we put a limit on each person. Back in the early 80s, $3 per person.
And that was unheard of back then.
Yeah, we
people
saw.
People thought y'all were crazy.
Well, that was back when the state told you, Sean.
Yep.
Shoot all the spikes you saw.
Yeah, because they were inferior.
And we had a contest at how many spikes you could shoot.
No,
I won it every year. I loved it. I loved the biggest spike and how many you killed. And I loved it, man. I won the pot every year. But then we figured out. We got to looking at the deer, and we had biologists come into our hunting club every year, and we got to looking at the deer, and we say, this is a baby deer. Yeah. Everyone we kill is a baby deer. We're saying, we
and you've seen the Mississippi State study, right, where they show the spike and then year two.
Yeah, 13 born yeah. or whatever, yeah.
I mean, sometimes the spike just becomes a 4 point the next year. Sometimes that spike becomes an 8 or a 10 the next year.
That's right.
Second half. So saying that we knew a spike, you know, is never going to accomplish anything, that's wrong. But what I get at is people are going to say, well, I like to shoot 20. I like to do all that. But the state did a couple things. The state surveyed years ago what Alabamians wanted more. This is even before Chuck Sykes came into office.
That's right.
Overwhelmingly, deer hunters in Alabama wanted bigger bucks.
Bigger bucks.
This is what people asked the state to do, the DCNR. They wanted that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the state, in a scientific way, is doing that, what they were asked by the citizens. The majority of citizens responded, wanted bigger bucks. And I'm sure there's somebody out there, I don't want a big buck.
If you want meat, you still kill your does, you know?
That's right.
So it's not a problem on, well, I need deer meat. Well, you kill plenty of deer meat. Don't worry about that. But things have changed. It's getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, there's still going to be people complain about, you know, Christmas morning and a puppy dog, but I think it is getting better. And like I said, I saw just buck-wise on that place up in Pennsylvania, what, 5-6 years in that program did up there.
Y'all got good food, too. That makes a big difference.
We do have good food. All right, coming right back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad you're along on this Saturday morning. Hopefully you get... You're listening to us now, this morning on Saturday. You're going to head to the stand this afternoon. Maybe you're checking it out podcast-wise, and you already got to hunt or getting ready to go hunt. And as always, send those pictures to us on Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Big thank you to Joey Peterson and the crew from Buffalo Rock, home of Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Dew.
And that other stuff. Oh, Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Diet Mountain Dew is just awesome. We drink it all the time around here.
That's Sean, for sure. So
big, absolutely love it.
Big appreciate thank you, Joey.
Buffalo Rock and Joey Peterson, love you.
You and I had a great conversation during the break there.
Yes.
Talking about, we continue this idea of what it takes to see bigger bucks. And once again, what the state's doing in so many states, they didn't just dream it up.
Right.
They surveyed, in Alabama, they surveyed what did people want more, and they wanted more big bucks. And big bucks is relative, right? Big bucks doesn't mean it's the front of Whitetail magazine. It's not the 180 class. People want something that they're going to hang, you know, it becomes furniture.
That's right. Something you talk about.
Good 10.
You know? Show to your friends, hey, this is what I killed. This is a nice deer. 120 or 125, yes. 130, you know?
And like we've said, for the majority of the state of Alabama, except for a few, if you can kill 120 class deer, a little better. It's a great buck.
120, 125 class deer is a really nice buck.
That is a great, really great is. Buck. And so quit watching. I mean, you still watch TV shows and look at the magazines, but also understand what they're doing in Kansas or something like that. Don't
That's
compare.
Different. They got
don't
so
compare.
Much food out there that, you know, a spike or 3 point this year can be a 10 or 12 point or something the next year because they got so much food out there.
But you mentioned something about that, too. A real good case study. On an individual deer that your son killed years ago.
Yes. You know, this is back in the early 90s, 90, I guess, probably 91 or something. We had a 500-acre piece of property, and the first time we saw this deer, he was a year and a half old. He had a broke arm, a broke leg, I mean, and it looked like he'd been hit by a car or something. And he had both of his ears were flopping. You know, they flopped.
So
they didn't
pretty
stick straight
easy
up,
to identify.
Flopped. So, yeah, I mean, it was a 3-point, just a little old bitty 3-point. And then next year we saw him gimping around, flopped ears, and he's a 5-point. You know, a little bitty, you know, maybe 10-inch wide, a little 5-point.
But you still, I mean, still got the ears and the limp, and you know you're looking.
Okay. There's no question. I mean, you hear people say, oh, yeah, it's the same deer. I've been hunting him 5 years. Right. I've seen him every year.
Right.
You know. Some of that I kind of believe, and some of it I don't. I'll be honest
I'll
with
sign
you.
On with you.
Yeah. Okay, well, then here's the third year. Okay, Michael is hunting. My son, Michael, is hunting by himself first time. I think it's opening weekend of deer season. I put him out in a stand. I go get another stand. I'm not there 20 minutes. Pow, he shoots one. And he called me and said, Daddy, I killed a big one. And I said, okay, well, I'm coming over to see him. So I went around there, and he got Dan out of his stand. We went out there and got him. And it's a big old 10-point, 24 and a quarter inches wide.
Wow.
24 and a quarter inches wide. And I'm looking at him, two flopped ears and a big old gimped leg.
How about that?
Exact same deer.
5-point and then?
10-point, 24 and 1/8 inch inside spread. How about that?
So you got to let them grow. The genetics were there. The genetics didn't. You don't grow the genetics were in that deer when he was a 3-point. The genetics were in that deer when he was a 5-point.
Yes.
Those genetics expressed that third year, that fourth year, and look what you got.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I just never dreamed that that could happen like that. But it did, and that's, you know, people shooting these year-and-a-half and two-and-a-half-year-old deer that are these little 3 points and 5 points and little 6 points and little 8 points. If you just give them that one more year or two more years, they can turn out to be something that you would be super proud of.
Yeah,
to kill.
And it's fine. Listen, the state still gives you the ability
to shoot them if you want them.
Shoot a couple, but that's why it's happening. And people, you know, that are mad that they can't shoot everything on the property. Once again, the property is yours. The deer are the property of the state. You couldn't manage it any other way.
I think we were the only state left that you could kill one buck a day during deer season. So you could literally kill 90 bucks a year or whatever it was, you know. Unbelievable how many deer you could literally kill in Alabama a year.
Unbelievable.
And you could kill a spike, a 3-point, whatever you wanted to shoot.
Right. So
things have changed. It's gotten better.
But, you know, and I think people see more rack bucks than before. You have
sure
to.
Sure they do.
By nature.
Yes, sure they do. Got to see more rack bucks than you used to.
Yeah,
so, for sure.
There you
now,
go.
We saw a bunch back in the day because we had 3-deer limit back in the early 80s. So
yes, like those clubs
we were
did.
Managing our
right.
deer.
And clubs can put in, you know, club can put in whatever further restrictions they want. But, you know, I think this one, I think it'll stand the test of time that by the time we get another couple of years under our belt with this, people are going to say, you know, that was the right move. But
Listen,
we'll get in that discussion as well over on our Facebook page. We got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. We'll talk to y'all next week. Send us those pictures.